sometimes my intentions were misunderstood when I came with a band of raiders screaming towards your house.
What's that? On your screen. Some kind of program about a Westworld on TV. Well, it doesn't sound like anything to me.
I'm Red Scott.
And I'm Ivan Hernandez.
And this doesn't sound like anything to me.
The third best Westworld podcast covering the not last Westworld episode. Guys, I really thought that this was seriously the last episode of
Why
Westworld.
Why would you think this was the last episode?
And it was ending on the craziest
There's
digression.
There's 10 in the first season.
I was
There's
like,
10 in
how
the
do you not have
season?
Envid Rachel Wood in the season finale?
It's like all the best season finales where they introduce a new character and then have him star in it for an entire hour. We are discussing Kiksuya? I don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Kiksuya, directed by Uta Brisewitz, who's done Westworld, Jessica Jones, Altered Carmen, This Is Us, Orange Is the New Black, Weeds, and Hung.
Altered Carmen? She's fun.
I know, I was about to say, I want to watch this show, Altered Carmen. Is this a Sense8 spinoff?
I don't want any
I
part of
it. I love Sense8. Did you watch it?
No, I watched like two episodes and I was like, this is exactly what the Wachowski sisters want to do and I'm happy for them.
Very much that. But I watched the finale this weekend and it was great.
Should we introduce our guest?
Yes, we are joined
today. Oh yeah, sorry. I'm like, well, here I go with the opinions.
Return guest from Boars, Gore, and Swords also has her own podcast, Kid Life Crisis and The Shade of It All, which is a RuPaul's Drag Race recap podcast, a writer
recap.
For HighTimes.com, contributor to some e-cards, and executive producer of New York City-based comedy show Golden Spiral, Katie Kampfe.
Thank you.
Hey! Thanks for being here, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Last time I was on, I was at Red's house, and now I'm at Ivan's house on the other coast. Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
Either in California or New York, it's a cool state either way.
Yeah, very true.
By the way, Red, you're moving here, right?
What are you talking about? No.
We already talked about it, so.
Guys, I think it's about time that the listeners start mounting a pressure campaign to get Red to move to New York so that we can finally be reunited. Because let me tell you, it has been extremely hard to have to get somebody off of the street to hold their hand while I'm recording.
Oh yeah,
I have to go outside and be like, somebody needs to be my Red. Nobody wants to be my Red.
Also, we're two in a row with technical problems while recording, which is unprecedented. So I'm hoping we can make it three. It's like celebrity deaths.
Yeah, but Mercury's not even in retrograde, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's July 26th, right? That's when it starts going down.
Oh God, really?
I think
that's
so.
Actually, a while.
We still got some time until.
I might want to go ahead and buy a computer.
Yeah, exactly. Make all your big purchases now. Get everything out of the way.
Yeah.
So, Katie, what is your relationship with Westworld up until this point?
I've been watching since season one. I like it. I actually kind of got in an argument about it on my podcast last week because we talked about Breastworld because they did an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race where they did a Westworld episode.
Yes.
I wasn't on the podcast that week. It was fine. I'll save that because I know you guys are going to do an episode about it. But
we may be of one of the approximately 500 things that we have been asked to podcast about
this week.
This people keep. I have recorded 4 podcasts from last Sunday to this Sunday.
Truly, nobody has worked harder than us.
Nobody.
My co-host Kyle is like, he's like, well, I just don't want to watch Westworld because it's just like, I don't want to watch like more casual cruelty to women. And I was like, versus the actual world? Like, what? Thank you for your concern on a fictional TV show about fucking robots. Like,
yeah. Also, it's not casual at all. It's very directed.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we finally have some people sticking up for the imaginary robot women on television.
Yeah. They really appreciate it, too.
Listen, you're not going to fuck those imaginary robot women, Kyle.
Kyle's gay, so.
He's especially not going to fuck those imaginary robot women.
Right. He would, if he were here, he'd be like, I don't want to anyway.
Well, before we can get into the specifics of this episode, we have to know what happened previously on Westworld.
Evan, take it away.
A stern ethnic guy and a busty white lady. The ultimate negotiating team. Can you yell, it's a culture, not a costume, at someone when it's their own culture? I'm not sure. I'm not going to take this on. Hey, you remember when they sent Logan naked off to wherever and he listened to one Velvet Underground album and consequently got hooked on Smack? Okay, just checking. If you die in the circle, you get to retain your experience points and items, but they take 10% of your gold. It's a very fair system. And with Clifton Collins Jr. gone, so goes our Latino representation. It was nice while it lasted. And finally, where do we put this Tandy Newton? Just dump her in the celebrated British actress freezer next to the pile of Naomi Harris's. And that was previously on Westworld.
So this is probably the biggest single departure from the normal storyline that we've had in this world up to this point.
Yeah, we got our, bottle episode? This was the longest telling and not showing of any TV series I've watched this year.
They fully Forrest Gumped this episode.
They literally were telling us. Yeah. It was all Akechita?
Yeah, right?
Akechita? Sure, man. Let's just go for it. Akechita.
You know what this is? This is, they're really
Akechita,
throwing a
yeah. Akechita, yeah, whatever. Akechita. However you want to say it.
Did you catch the name of Maeve's daughter?
No.
She's credited as Maeve's daughter. They don't care. She's literally just for exposition. That's her only reason
to exist.
They gave
Kohana a name, but not the daughter. The daughter is like a regular at this point.
I know. The daughter is two separate characters' motivating factors.
And yet she doesn't justify an avient in this series.
Like, no one's given her a name? I mean...
So
Maeve's just out there, like, at least on Lost, Walt's dad was always yelling, Walt! She's like,
what if somebody asks Maeve what her daughter's name is, and she's like, oh, shit.
She just gets fried and just...
Oh, I forgot!
Goes non-operational.
Exactly. All her can't compute, fry. Can't compute.
Oh, yeah, there's just that awkward where she's talking to her daughter, being like, remember me! You know, we've had some... And she's like, what's my name? And then she just does one of these.
I don't think the listeners can see.
I know what your name is.
I love you so
mother.
Much.
Don't be stupid, you.
You're my beautiful daughter.
Yeah, I mean, that's the number one sign that you're being used just for exposition is when nobody cares to name. It also means that on set, they've come up with a very offensive name for that character that they cannot use in the actual show.
What if they just call her MD? What up, what up, MD?
Like some people on set don't realize that MB isn't an actual name. They're like, in their head, they're spelling it EMBY. And they're like, it seems weird in this world, but I'm going with it. And so, I mean, starting with the first scene in this, we actually start with the man in black. We don't start directly with Akechita, him dragging himself through the dirt, which I'm sure many film nerds and people with film degrees would know what they're referencing. There's about a dozen specific Westerns that probably start mm-hmm. with a hand reaching for clawed dirt and pulling themselves forward. Yeah. And we get this.
I love how he's grumbling. You're not dying here. We have to make it to the expansion pack. We bought that RAM cartridge, damn it. our dad's going to make us return it if we don't beat Majora's Mask.
I did yell out loud, is Westworld real enough for you now, William? I call him William when I hate him.
He finally got what he wanted. I hope he's happy.
Yeah. The whole time he's been almost dying, I have been wondering if there's just a digital copy of him. And that,
oh, there's digital copies of everyone.
For sure.
Are you watching Altered Carbon? Or you have watched it?
Oh, I have watched Altered Carbon.
I am watching five different sci-fi shows right now. And like this one included, I can't keep the fucking rules straight. I'm mm-hmm. just like, who can die? And whose consciousness has been uploaded into something else? And like,
no,
and this show is Altered Carbon. They have a lot of crossover.
So that's a very good point, and I did watch all of Altered Carbon. And something that I had noticed that a lot of fan theories were bleeding over from other sci-fi shows that were happening. And as somebody who, despite my best goals for myself, reads almost only genre fiction, I feel like my brain has like very firm barriers between all the sci-fi worlds I'm occupying.
So you can keep them all straight? Because, I mean...
Oh, I can.
I'm really struggling.
I mean, because I found myself arguing with a lot of people on the internet.
Is that... the only way that you retain information for use in arguments?
No, yeah. That's a lot of study. Arguing is study time.
I'd be arguing about like, no, that in this world they've been very, in a world where they can clearly copy consciousnesses,
in a world, sorry.
They've been very specific about having one host have one brain and one continuity, and we haven't seen any brains replaced in this world, which suggested to me up to this point, if they do have that technology, it's very expensive, or it has some fatal flaws in it, which, as we learned in this season, the copies sort of fade away after 30 days or so. They degrade over time, so you can't just have endless copies of a human being anyway coming through.
Mm-hmm. That they get to every 30 days, they want to hit you with that new subscription box of hosts. That Bernard box.
Yeah. What happened to him? He decided not to re-up, so he's gone now.
He doesn't get to enjoy any of these artisanal snacks. They just pack your Jeffrey Wright in a box full of artisanal snacks.
And it turns out you can your brain copy can live perfectly forever as long as it stays in the Matrix. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, you can't put it in a body or else.
No.
You have to burn it 149 times.
Yes.
I know that absolutely would not be a problem with the red personality.
What?
No, I'm never going to take a physical host. Are you kidding me?
Why would I do that? Those bodies are dumb.
I'll be a battery where it's safe.
Yes.
But by the way, we need to talk about how the actor who plays Akachita has the most amazing name I've ever heard. Zan McLarnon.
Oh, wow. I was going with Zahn.
I don't know. X-A-N. Is it Steve Zahn? Z-A-H-N.
A-H, wow.
How amazing a name is that?
That means tooth in German.
Really?
I bet it does. That's such a fucking amazing name.
I have a lot of questions about that actor. I mean, because you've got Zahn, which apparently is German, and then the last name, McLarnon.
No, it's just a German word. I don't think he's named Tooth.
I hope he is. And then McLarnon,
that is a straight up mystery. I need to know more.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is an easily solvable one. First line in his Wikipedia page, he's a Lakota/Irish actor. So he's half Lakota, half Irish.
Okay.
I'm going to guess, I know this is not necessarily true, but I'm going to guess his father is Irish.
He chose to be named McLarnon.
Maybe he's McLarnon's daughter, to use the Icelandic naming convention.
Oh, that'd be great.
I also really love how Akachita's horse has the Dreamcast logo tattooed on its ass. That was amazing. It was like, yeah, that's my favorite system too. I love playing Power Stone.
And so Akachita arrives, kicks William, mm-hmm. And says, alive, good. And he's like, I didn't learn your dumb language. What am I, a nerd?
I know, I love it. He's like, what, am I supposed to read all the logs that you keep leaving behind?
Yeah, I also know Klingon. Get out of here, dummy.
And there's no Duolingo for Lakota, okay? There is for Klingon.
Yeah.
In case you were wondering.
I also think that Akachita just standing over William, telling him that death is a favor, would be a great, like, to be continued screen in, like, a co-op arcade fighter. Like, 10, 9, 8, hey, death is an exit for you that I'm never going to give you. 7, 6, 5, 4, insert quarter. 3, 2, 1.
And then he switches to English temporarily for those of us who get very tired watching subtitles, which not a lot of breaks in this one.
Oh,
yeah,
nah.
Man, you had to be looking all the time.
Yeah, this was a lot.
But kudos to all the actors and dialect coaches, because this was clearly a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah. So,
yeah, and I don't think that there's anybody on the podcast who can. I don't think anybody of us are going to be able to fact check any of this, are we?
No,
I didn't think so.
No, I actually feel very lucky that none of us actually do know Klingon and not Lakota, because that'd be really embarrassing.
Wait,
I would bet that more people know Klingon than Lakota.
That's very unfortunate and very true.
I'm not going to do the math and just going to say I hope that's not the case.
by the way, Red, I get 10% of all of the brain chemicals you get off of those Ocean's 8 tweets. I was the one who said do
are
this math.
Well?
Say it again.
Are they doing well, the tweets?
Yeah,
it's doing okay.
It's doing okay. It's not. Listen,
I retweeted it.
We're not triple digits. I haven't started a SoundCloud yet so that I can link to it.
I do love the arguments you're having with other with guys who are like, no, you are not taking these numbers seriously. It's very fun to see number defense red.
There's a lot of dumb people. Yeah, I just pointed out the obvious and very dumb coincidence that the budget for Ocean's 8 is 82% of the budget of Ocean's 11, which does not account for inflation, but does match the Bureau of Labor Statistics number for the pay gap between women and men, which...
But then when you add in inflation, it's like they're getting fully screwed, right?
Oh, it's
like
way worse. It's way worse. Yeah. It's that should be the number I'm saying, but the parallels are just amusing, and I find it hilarious that they came up with that number and managed not to notice it. Like, nobody was just like, just make sure.
Did you see those Variety writing panels that were all white dudes? 10 white dudes?
I saw.
They're all sorry for the oversight.
I saw the flyer for that, and I was like, this is shopped. Somebody's making it.
And I love how many of the male writers were like, I would gladly step down.
I didn't know there were no women on this. I just know I was asked. I didn't ask any questions, but now that I know, wow, am I mad. Wow.
Listen, I could imagine that happening to me. Like, I'm just like, can you come to this thing? Too, yeah. And I would be like, is there a tray backstage and is my parking validated? And they'd be like, yes. And like, I'll be there. And then the flyer comes out and I'm like, oh no, I didn't do any work with this at all.
Like, you've never been on an all white male flyer.
Never once in my life. Prove it. I've never been in a flyer. It turns out my image does not hold.
Oh, no. I've been on an all-male flyer for a show that was co-produced by a woman, and I was like, well, if she doesn't have a problem with it, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, this is a podcast where unless we have more than two female guests every episode, we're failing.
We are never.
That's how I see it as well.
Yeah.
I hate this podcast. It's garbage.
Thank you. At least it means that you care enough to actually listen sometimes.
I have to ask, the dog in the background, is it male or female?
It's a male. His name's Buzz.
God damn it, he's hurting our numbers. Don't let him bark on Mike. This is going to destroy us.
He's more yang than yin. He's a bottom, you know?
Oh, you're a feminist ally, aren't you, buddy?
You are.
I also love how he had his ass directly on the weed container.
He was chewing it before, so.
Hell yeah.
Making progress.
This dog really is cool.
Yeah. What does this dog look like, you're wondering? Follow him at buzz_baker on Instagram.
This dog has more
Instagram listeners.
Followers than all of us.
Yeah, he definitely does.
Combined, I think.
He has almost 3,000. He's doing great.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. So Akachita brings William into the Ghost Nation camp. If you're just going to let me die, you could have kept writing. And so he gives the line.
It's a good point.
You don't deserve the exit. And looks over and sees Maeve's daughter, which is kind of like, I'd forgotten that Maeve's daughter was going to be there. And I didn't realize at this point that they were just never going to name her. So clearly she's going
to
die very
soon. She's not there. She's like a stick figure that he's talking to. He could be talking to like a trouble doll for all she's doing in this episode.
It's one of those sticks with a tennis ball in it.
Well,
it's Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, basically the twist at the end is she's actually a walkie-talkie.
You know what? I wouldn't put it past her.
So we flash back to Maeve and her daughter on the prairie as homesteaders. I don't
with
know
the laundry.
Why.
I'm sorry. The wind through the laundry. I'm like, okay, domestic life. She does laundry. Roger.
Who is she doing all this laundry for? It's just the
life
two
on
of
the
them.
Prairie was filthy, man.
Yeah, you're saying she got really drunk and shit herself last night. That's just the state of things.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why I find the fake tea party so heartbreaking.
I love the fake tea party when she's like, the baby doll and the mama doll. And you know what? Why be heteronormative?
Did
Let's throw in another mama doll.
Too?
Yes!
Okay.
I love it.
Because I'm like, why in this story? Why?
I don't know. And there's also just the added, where they're like, they are robots play acting with real teacups, but they're empty, and it's just, it hurt my brain. It made me very sad. The whole scene just made me...
I'm sure it is supposed to be like an allegory for the whole thing.
These prestige shows, and they're like, it's a metaphor. Why don't you just be entertaining?
Well, I mean, they're like so just up their own butts. Like, there's... Every time I like can't watch any behind the show anymore because I'm like, I just hate everyone involved with this. Every time I watch one of those things, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, just do you even watch this one? They're like, you know, people have just never seen a character like Maeve before. I'm like, oh, a hooker with a heart of gold? Have we not? Okay.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's constantly like, where did you get the idea for the term Horroboros. And it'll be just Jonathan Oledge, like, when I was reading Joyce in Cambridge.
Look, guys, I just want to get back to linear television again someday. I just want to watch one show.
I remember, but I don't know when it was.
Exactly. There used to be a time when you could watch a show that just went forward in time.
Yeah.
Here's the timeline for this show. Tina Fey's character showed up at 30 Rockefeller Plaza to make The Girly Show. And then it goes on from there, just completely linearly. They never go backward once.
But by the way, my theory on Westworld is that it depends on whether they think that Westworld is the show within a show on 30 Rock or the show within a show on Studio 60. Because one of those is not supposed to be a good show within a show, and the other is supposed to be a good show within a show.
So we get Maeve's daughter talking to Akachita, and Akachita is sort of telling her about reincarnation in this world. And he has a flashback to the first life that he lived, along with his lady, who I don't know if we ever got her name. No, Kahono?
He's also like, are you... He's like approaching her, and she's like, and he's like, are you afraid of me? Like, motherfucker, what? Look at your face. Yes.
Are you afraid of me? Would you rate me between 1 and 5 stars on the scale?
Is there a creek nearby where you could like wash off at least the top half of what's happening on your forehead? Because like,
I know, my absolute favorite scene in this episode was when he was like, sometimes my intentions were misunderstood when I came with a band of raiders screaming towards your house.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't great when he said in Lakota, oh, don't worry, this isn't my blood. So I believe that
they also did. We say that they wheeled Maeve into the shop, and they were like talking about how she can control the host with her mind. So they need to check her data stream.
I think we're way before this, actually. So this is actually the point. This is So this is Akachita's first life, where I believe he does not have any face makeup at all, and is not covered in blood.
Mm-hmm. Makeup free Monday.
Makeup free Monday. So this is back.
He's giving me like Jeremy Irons. I'm kind of into it.
Ooh,
With the makeup off, he looks good.
Listen, this guy in Fargo season 2 was killing it.
Yeah, he was great in Fargo season 2. I'm trying to remember, is this actor the same character in this season of Westworld who is showing off the hosts and the promise of Westworld to Logan?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely the same. They're the same host.
Oh.
Yeah, that's going to be so much fun when I go back and rewatch this right after we're done recording. So yeah, they originally, the Ghost Nation, I don't know if they're called that at the time, originally has sort of an idyllic sort of existence.
Like a pointless existence, almost. It was so peaceful. Yeah, did they even interact with hosts? Seems like they just kind of did their thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. When they were like rebooting them pre the park opening, they were just like, yeah, they just hang out there in the background. And it's like, oh, they just have beta filler stuff too. They're going to finish this content.
That would for sure be my Westworld vacation. I'd be like, oh, a friendly village of people who are just going to like put me up. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, I'll stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all those beautiful wigs.
Yeah, oh my. Those were not beautiful wigs. Those were like beauty store $15 nylon
American wigs.
Pinecalon wigs.
I was like, they were going, where's the bad part of town? We need a Halloween superstore stat.
I'm just like, how is this the line item in the budget? That like we're like, let's skimp on this.
Yeah.
You can be like real hair wig from like real far away from the television.
By the way, Katie's wig sense is much better than
mine. I watched Drag Race.
She was literally like, wig, wig, not wig, not wig, 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 not wig, wig, not wig.
I'm like, look at it. It's not hair. That's not hair.
Katie, she kept banging this gong every time she saw a wig. It was very, it really interrupted the scene.
I have to say, you're
like,
really...
sashay away. Sashay away.
Well, I just have to say, stay away from Counterpart. There's one really atrocious wig in Counterpart. Even Ivan and I were like, what is happening with that woman's hair? The worst part is they show the same actress bald sometimes, so it's like 10 times more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
When she's wearing the wig, and the wig was not good to start with. So, I am wondering, like, what could, like, a village of Native Americans living peacefully and happily, and then everything goes terrible when white people are allowed in, what could that be a metaphor for?
Red, perhaps this is America.
I don't know, you guys. I think it's maybe above our heads. I don't think we're supposed to get it.
If you hit that soundboard right now, I'm going to break your fucking fingers.
This is America.
I hate you so fucking much. I'm going to break your fingers when you move here. The first thing, the moment you get off that fucking plane, I'm going to be there to
They're
shake
drive
your hand and then snap your fucking fingers.
I'm not. And this is why I'm not moving to New York City. I like my fingers and I like my soundboard.
Just for that? Come on, we can take him.
Wait, is everybody fighting me now?
I mean, if you're going to break Red's fingers.
Of course not.
That's
who's
generally
produce,
not how
who's
I lure people
the
to
podcast.
Move. Like, yeah, I know. Yeah. How's he going to do that with no fingers?
It's going to be like Peter Dinklage in Infinity War. I'm Thor just trying to hold open the sun to master the podcast.
I actually produced this podcast at this point using Siri from my soundboard. I just typed the numbers. And through a series of commands, it produces this podcast.
Wait, okay. Did you guys hear about, is it Cheap Bots Done Quick? Cheap Bots Done Right?
I'm not familiar. Tell me about it. Sell me on it. This is our new advertiser.
Oh, no. So there was a thing on Twitter this week. There's like 9,000 bots or something that are all on this one bot platform.
Okay.
That Twitter banned for no reason and no warning. Just banned them. So people start tagging the bots in. They're like, oh, it's like one of them is Infinite Scream and it just screams intermittently.
I love Infinite Scream.
Okay.
Oh, Infinite Scream and Self-Care Bot when they got into that recursive loop?
But there's 9,000 of them, and they're all doing that. They're all talking to each other. They're still talking to each other.
Oh, these fucking...
This is not going to go anywhere bad.
These computers...
This is all fine. It's really weird to be watching this show and then read a news story like that.
These computers are going to fuck us up, and they're going to be right.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
So
but
we get
we
to the point.
Start kissing their ass right away.
What do you think? Half of these Westworld podcasts
you.
Have been us telling the robots how much we are so down to
how
sell
much
out.
We
for
welcome
humanity.
Them as overlords.
Oh no, Red, you should see Red's metal arm.
Yeah,
he's got the full cable thing going right now.
I refer to it as the Bucky thing because I'm trying to be on brand.
Oh, you're a fucking Bucky fan now, you fucking piece of shit.
If I had to choose a character that I hate with a metal arm, it's going to be Bucky over Cable. So as you mentioned earlier, we flash forward to Lee Sizemore and a tech pushing Maeve towards repair. Lee Sizemore, up to this point, has been one of my favorite characters to watch, even though he's one of the most annoying characters as a human being. And but now it's the point.
Is he the only human in that little group that's on the move?
No, we don't know where the rest of that fucking group went.
They like all broke up, and we're not clear on what happened.
So they're like with their Shogun twins.
Yeah, Felix and the fucking
Armistice twins.
And Sylvester and the Armistices. No, Sylvester fucking bugged off with when the tech crew came in. So yeah, it's just Felix and the two Armistices somewhere about to fuck something up.
Now that you say that, they're definitely boning. Like, if I was Felix and the two Armistices...
how is that not the first thing you do? He led them away for a secret mission in the bushes.
Yeah, they're just going to flash to them and they're going to like be like, guys, it's been 30 hours and Maeve's not back. Maybe we should go looking for them. And then just a tattooed hand is going to reach up for him and pull him back into bed. But now that Lee Sizemore is responsible...
We skipped a lot of stuff.
Oh, no. We're still early in it.
Okay.
We're very early.
Yeah.
Lee Sizemore is trying to convince the emergency repair dude to do something about Maeve, I'm like, you're too incompetent. You can't be responsible for keeping Maeve alive. She's too important to me.
Get away from her!
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at. I'm like, don't take it to this weird dude who I can't find a name for in the credits, but is clearly just going to cut her open like she's a filet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like any part of that.
Yeah.
We go from there to Maeve's daughter and Akachita again to get the sort of Forrest Gump storytelling going.
Yeah, this is incredibly interesting because it basically forms my theory about what the Ghost Nation entirely is. So Akachita stumbles on the first, you know, Dolores killing Arnold scene from the early timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sees the symbol, and that basically futzes with his programming. So the symbol is basically like a memetic program that kind of awakens the host by seeing the symbol. And all of the people in the Ghost Nation are people that he ends up waking up using the symbol.
Any programmer will tell you that QR codes are an inherent vulnerability. You don't know where that link is going.
You don't. You don't know how to interpret a QR code. You don't have
Have you
robot
ever seen
eyes.
That flowchart about QR codes?
No.
Should I use a QR code? It's basically just like, no. The entire flowchart is like, but what if... No.
Yeah, no. QR codes, don't use them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exactly why you don't. Because 1 minute, you're living a happy, fulfilled life. And then the next minute you stumble upon a pile of bodies. You look at a QR code. And then you're like, you've started a religion. And
carve that QR code in fucking everything.
Yeah, including the inside of people's scalps, which I still don't entirely understand.
I don't understand that either.
I don't get it either. I think the show is just fucking with us.
Hey, buddy, can I take your scalp and carve something into it?
And then they put it back and, like, no screaming. I don't...
They're very brave.
Is that...
I have no idea. So...
Anyway, everybody's like, come and get your man. He's crazy. He won't stop carving this shit in everything. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. His lady, not exactly age appropriate.
Yeah.
But very pretty.
Oof.
I can't. I would say, how old do we think? So he's probably, I don't know, in his mid-90s. How old is she?
She's like in her 30s, I think. Early 30s, mid-30s.
I mean, because he reads to
He's like 50. I think he's in his 50s.
Yeah, I was going to say, he reads to me his early 50s, which means with his like Hollywood skincare regimen. Like, he's probably been dead for several decades.
But he is Irish.
Ooh, yeah, you're right. You know what? Now that you point that out, he probably is actually 36.
Yeah, they're the same age. I don't know what I was talking about.
The only reason we think he looks as young as he does is that wig they gave him.
His, I think they actually spent a little time on.
I was not thrown...
I like the man bun look.
Mm-hmm.
The man bun look was fine. There was only one, his like best friend who he later scalps... That was the one guy who was like, hey, I thought you got a little, like, up top, it seems a little, did you behead a Barbie and put that on your head? Like, is that what's happening? I'm confused.
It's a hairpiece.
And
it's a bump it.
We get this.
Okay. Oh, you did. Okay.
I've seen the commercials.
He dies once and he hears a new voice inside. Before I understood it, they took everything. So he's sort of wiped. He's wiped, but in the interest of expediency, they quote, leave the old shit in.
There's like three separate moments of people being like, it's fine.
And I feel like this is very true to engineering.
Yes, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let's just go to lunch. Fuck it.
That's the
just
most
leave the old build
part.
In there.
Fucking marketing said they want to change them from their like true perfect platform to being these vicious, stereotypical Native American warriors. Well, they can fucking get it, but I'm not going to spend more than 30 minutes on this bullshit.
Yeah, they're just tweak his aggression, make him more stereotypical.
Yeah.
I love when they do say, like, yeah, you know, the guests don't want to know that they're actually killing someone that, like, looks like a person. And it's like, yeah, after Bioshock Infinite, it's like, I don't want these realistic people to be getting clawed in the face while a beautiful brunette screams terrified behind me.
It's very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So he rides off and finds Logan. He remembers that he's looking for the door and he finds Logan fully crazed. Mm-hmm. And this is if
so sunburned.
Yeah. Logan.
Oh, that's the part that I was just like, oh, my God, will he ever recover?
Do you remember when Ryan Cronin went canoeing and didn't wear sunscreen? There are pictures on Facebook. It's like, this was nothing. This was nothing compared to those pictures.
You remember that time Red went outside once? Yeah, without his parasol?
I'm also part Irish, okay? I don't go outside a lot. It is dangerous. No.
I've often said that if Ivan wanted to murder me, he would invite me over at noon and then lock his door.
He's just pounding on the door.
Let me in!
I'm so close to carrying a parasol. There are so many women in my neighborhood who do it. It's like...
I would love a
parasol. Wouldn't even be weird.
Oh, yeah. No, I've had in my life that I've learned from several sunburns that became huge blisters that were disgusting.
Oh, my God.
And made me hate myself and my own body.
Yeah.
But by the time I got to 15, I was like, I've got it. You don't expose your skin or ever go outside. It's very simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if you do, you have a total panic attack.
Right.
Until you get in the shade.
For real. Do you know how many times I've been wearing a hoodie on a day that got unexpectedly hot and I was just like sweating inside of it?
Yeah.
It just turned into that Jordan.
And then you end up trying to like wear it as a tent.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. You ever do the hoodie when you pull your arms in and you kind of unzip it and you hold it over yourself like it's a cape? So you're not exactly. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Oh, yeah. God.
But you also have to like have a, you know, a hood with a little structure in it because otherwise it won't cover your face.
It won't cover your face. That's when you just look at the floor. You just watch your footsteps. Hope you know where you're going.
God, I love having,
you know,
melanin
not that
so
being
much.
White is hard, but in this context,
you guys, you finally sold me. I'd rather be white. I don't want to be white now. This is it's not worth the white privilege.
Oh,
it's
no,
not.
I mean, barely.
Yeah. And so Logan, this is the first time I felt bad for his character and sympathized with him.
Yeah. Oh, Logan is just like, I tried to force disconnect and it won't let me. I've got to stay in Molten Core forever.
Akashita gives Logan a blanket and says, your kind will come for you, which is both kind of nice and just very mean. He's like, literally, I'm dying and I've lost sanity out here.
Yeah, he leaves him.
Gives
like,
him a blanket. I know. That's shady as fuck. Stay warm, buddy.
The worst part is that the embroidery says, I went to Westworld and all I got was this decorative shawl and heat stroke. It was very wordy.
It's like horsehair and shit, too. You know, it was warm as fuck.
I knew he'd gone mad, but his words cracked something open in me. So he also says, where's the door? So it's basically just the words of a raving Logan saying, get me the hell out of here. Where's the exit button?
Yeah.
And
which is not crazy.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
It's actually not.
It's a video game.
Yeah.
And he should be able to leave.
Yes. Absolutely.
Which, by the way, this park really needs more cameras.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
When they're supposed to be updating him and he just gets up and leaves?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Right.
I guess they're a little understaffed.
I really would love it if they were like, listen, we can't afford to hire full-time people.
Well, I think all the security people are dead, so...
Not at that point. That was one
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. That was like, and wait, wasn't that the first time he died in 9 years?
Yes, that was the first time he died in nine
That's
years.
That's crazy.
So he was there at the beginning of the park, so I presume that was somewhere around 20 years ago, give or take. I mean, I'm sure that they could have been screwing with the timelines, but I would guess it was somewhere between 10 to 20 years.
They must have a master timeline that they could, like...
Oh, I hope it's on a scroll that's in sepia that's written in just like a fountain pen and it's on their wall.
It just goes all the way around the writer's room like several times.
It's written on the back of an Inception poster.
Uh-huh. God, I hope in true Jonathan Nolan style, it's written backwards on a tattoo on his chest that he checks every day before he starts writing.
He's got to wake up and see where Chris left his notes. Akashita is not being a good ally.
He's not being as good of an ally.
Ally? He's got a ways to go before we even start talking about ally.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, I look where I please.
Yeah that's not
like,
that,
whatever
the male
I want.
Gaze, the male gaze.
Yeah, he literally almost starts a fight because he wants to glare isn't strong enough of a word. Ogle? He wants to ogle.
Leer at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, leer.
Some good leering.
Leer is the word I was reaching for. A woman that he used to date, which is not allowed and should not be the message anyone takes from this.
Yeah, please don't do that. Love women.
Yeah. I also really love this tribe's traditional exchange of one robot pig for one basket of robot corn.
That seems like not a fair trade, right?
No, it's like that robot corn is worth so much. Those individual kernels are microprocessors.
They're currency.
What percentage of you...
Bitcoin?
When he was talking about being hooked on...
Sorry, I'll leave. I gotta go.
Bitcoin.
When Akashita
Podcast is done, guys. Podcast is done.
I'm sorry
for breaking your podcast.
Obsession with Kahona. Were you just like, buddy, just let her go. Move on. Kahana. Find a new lady.
Kahona. Kahona.
Kahona.
Yep.
I saw the newcomer who spoke of a way out. He was gone. So he keeps writing until he finds it. And he finds the construction at the end of the park, which I'm not clear, first of all, what he thinks he sees at that time, and also I'm not clear why he doesn't just keep going at that point.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely like a power plant in the ground. Well, he sees a door, basically. He sees one door, and he's like, that must be the door.
Right.
Even though there are doors in Westworld. Like, this isn't like... But he's like, nope, that's definitely the one.
Yeah. Also, this guy really covers a lot of distance every other day.
Oh, this was a full like Wayne's World 2, Jim Morrison in the desert thing.
By the way, if you like me and Katie were watching this episode under the impression it was the last episode of this season of Westworld.
Well, I walked in and I was like, "Is it?" And Ivan was like, "Yeah."
I thought it was the last episode.
Why are you
of
lying to our guests?
I don't know. I lie to the guests about one thing every episode to make things spicy.
There is something I don't like about hosting a Westworld podcast, and that is that you are inherently the host, which makes the listeners the actual people. I don't like that. We're the guests. You're the host. The host are the listeners. I'm putting it on its head.
I'm like less and less sure that we're the guests.
So he basically goes and finds, now I know I'm going to say it wrong. Kohana. That sounds right. Kohana. And kidnaps her and takes her off into this other world.
Yeah, because he loves her so much.
Right.
I love when he cuts her bonds and she starts going away and he's just like, shh, shh, he's an expert wife calmer.
Wait, so Red, have you heard of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
Have I heard of it? Yeah, it's one of my wife's favorite movies.
Is it because it's seven gingers?
I hope so that's the actual reason. It might be the actual reason I'm married today is her love for
that
movie.
Why is it one of her favorite movies? Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. No, see, so she actually, during the weekend, she like went to Tahoe for a bachelorette party and she was like, I want to watch this movie at one point. And one of her friends had never seen that movie and was like,
I just saw it for the first time like 2 weeks ago.
Was so horrified by it that it has irreparably damaged their friendship.
Wow. That's intense.
Oh, it's not a nice movie if you pay attention to any of the actual plot details.
I mean, the one that's most relevant to this is they go and kidnap their wives in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's
and then they keep their hands over their mouths for the entire wagon ride until they get through this treacherous canyon. And then they release their mouths and let them scream to cause an avalanche.
Yeah.
Oh, this
what are women good for? What are they good for? Noise, avalanches.
Yeah.
Well, get it.
And also, if you get them somewhere where they're forced to work with you for several months so that they can survive, through the beauty of Stockholm Syndrome, you can find seven brides for seven brothers.
And their Aunt Lydia, the first wife.
Yes. You can force women to love you. That's what I learned from that. And I don't see any problems.
Me neither. Why am I not married yet? When am I going to get kidnapped? I shouldn't joke about that.
You really shouldn't. It's not good.
Speaking of
now you're talking.
I saw Hereditary this weekend and Ann Dowd. I don't know why anyone would ever trust Ann Dowd.
Who?
She's the lady who plays Aunt Lydia.
Oh yeah.
Her or Margot Martindale.
Oh yeah.
Why would you trust either of them? They're too grandmotherly.
Never trust a character actor.
Exactly.
They're here for the main character to bounce off of, not to teach us anything about ourselves.
I try to resist that. This is where it's fully like he's a 60-year-old dotard and she's like the bachelorette. And I'm just like, is he her daughter? Like, why?
Also,
Hollywood.
As Ivan mentioned, like he treats her like a scared animal and not like a human being who also speaks the same language as him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like there's the scene where he's like approaching her with a huge knife, pointing it at her, moving towards her slowly.
Well, this is like maybe the first indication that he doesn't understand how he might appear to people.
He really doesn't understand. He's running at people with a knife being like, don't worry, I'm a good guy.
I don't know if The Gift of Fear is published in Lakota, but he should probably get a copy because it would be highly instructive for him to understand what he's dealing with.
Why don't women want to date me? I'm a nice guy.
Can we be sure this isn't actually an allegory about dating in Silicon Valley?
No.
Yeah, just be like, hey, just so you know, I noticed that your wrists are tied. Can I remove them for you? That seems like something that would have been helpful in that second. Using this knife, which I understand is scary and sharp.
Right. They're totally approaching it like he's a savage who's kidnapped a white woman.
Right.
Even though, like, they, what the fuck? Like, they could be talking the whole time.
Right. Yeah. They're both robots. They can speak any number of languages.
Anyway, the language they speak is their own, and they remember their past dialogue, which is like, take my heart with you when you leave.
Right.
Yeah, the beautiful words, wake me up before you go.
I'm not planning on going solo. Cut out your heart and give it to me.
You actually, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, I once did a comedy show where you pitched some sort of television show, and mine was a reality show called Seven Brides for Seven Baldwins.
Oh, dear God. And
those poor women.
There's maybe two good Baldwins. Oh, yeah. Maybe at that.
Well, there's
Do
that.
They all live in one house?
I mean, the hardest thing was finding enough Baldwins, so I just filled in the back end with... So I got... There's four real Baldwins, and then I had Adam Baldwin, and then I think two Wayans brothers.
Listen, they're basically equivalent palette swaps.
Yeah. I honestly, I just feel bad for the one who ended up with Adam Baldwin.
Oh, God, the worst Baldwin of them all. Dwin.
So Akachita and Kohana, sitting beside a fire, we're going to go somewhere our memories will be safe. But they discovered us again, because it turns out we're robots with tracking devices.
This is why you have to disable GPS on your wife. You got to put your wife in airplane mode.
I don't even joke about that. There are so many women with GPS fucking devices. God. On. Like, as soon as Tiles came out, I was like, oh, great. There's definitely women being forced to wear those. Cool. Okay. This is one of the parts where I was really like, what is time? Time. I don't even remember, like, let alone this show. I don't remember when shit happened to me.
Yeah. He returns to the village to find Kohana being let off by indifferent techs, and makes it back to his village and discover they'd replaced her with a quote unquote ghost, which is what he calls people who filled in the same spots in the storyline. Which is,
yeah, and I love when he consults with the other tribal leader, and she's like, they, and he's like, yeah, I have some InfoWars videos you might find very InfoWarmational.
They smell like sulfur.
Yeah. You don't want to know what they're doing in those pizza restaurants.
Buy my protein supplements.
Look, if you use this for 6 months, you'll be the exact same weight, only redder.
Must be supplemented with the whole sausages.
But this ghost thing, this new lady has a wig.
Yes.
And she's white. She's just a white woman.
I didn't want to say.
I guess they got one half Lakota and they're like, sweet. Like, and then
I do like it as a metaphor.
Her name is Julia Jones, by the way. So
I do like it as a metaphor. It's like we took your actual real Lakota wife and replaced her with some white lady we found on the street.
With a wig.
Took from the white lady
just
pile.
Just like in porn.
I always struggle with Westworld. Like, are they trying to show how actual AAA video game developers don't actually care about the cultures that are being portrayed? Because a lot of times they are. Like, a lot of Lee Sizemore's dumb one-dimensional stories, it seems pretty obvious to me that's what they're trying to do. But in instances like this, I'm just like, or is the casting director just lazy? It's a great excuse, either way.
That's the thing. We need to interview Nolan and Joy and be like, are you a girly show or are you a Studio 60?
We have to know which show within
the
show you're in.
We have to know. It determines everything.
I mean, I guess it's 30 Rock just because it's gone more than one season.
A nice Sorkin burn turned against your master.
It's still, episode-wise, still shorter.
That's a fair point. Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's true. Until it gets to 24 episodes, we're not going to know for sure. So we have Maeve's daughter.
MD.
MD. So I had to find her, but first I needed to journey. You know what I mean.
Yeah, you know the journey, right, girl?
So here's my question. At the end of this episode, we learn that Maeve is communicating wirelessly with Akachita.
That's one of my favorite scenes when the guy's like mansplaining it to Charlotte Hale, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I've seen Westworld."
I like the part
like you know the thing. Okay,
A mesh network. Yeah, I watched the show.
Yeah, he's connecting wirelessly. It says here that there's a lot of interference with local networks, and that the bandwidth is terrible. I think it'd be better if we just ran a Cat 7 cable to her.
Is that your Red's Westworld would just be all the hosts hooked up by Cat 5 cables?
It would
like
be
the only way you get enough throughput.
It's not wrong.
Man, we are like way out of my bailiwick here.
So, but okay. So we learn at the end that they're communicating wirelessly, and a lot of the things that, by my reading, that Akuchita is saying to Maeve's daughter are actually being said to Maeve.
Yeah. And so, well, and us.
And certainly mostly the viewer, but also the excuse that's given in world is that she's saying it to Maeve and not Maeve's daughter.
Right.
But are we meant to believe that this entire conversation is actually meant to be a conversation with Maeve?
I don't think so, because he's like, I couldn't die, but you like gave me the strength to keep going. And they show her, the girl, giving him water and like touching his face like she's 45 fucking years old, like soothing his feelings. That was a little weird.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah, I think it is meant to be both of them in that moment. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when we get to the part, I don't know
why she can talk to him and not to the daughter directly, too, but... Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like sex.
How else are they supposed to fool the viewer into making them feel dumb and also in awe at the end of an episode?
That's the thing. It's
they just can't be
unnecessary.
It's like when you watch a TV show and they're just on the phone the whole time. Like, that's boring.
I hate shows that just use people Skyping now.
Yeah.
I hate any time that there is people Skyping in television or movies.
It sucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, and life, you know, it sucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just had a long-distance relationship last year. It was a lot of Skype. A lot of Skype.
Wait, you're supposed to Skype them when you have a long-distance relationship?
It was just easier.
Mm.
No, you're supposed to FaceTime them, but if you're poor, I guess you could Skype.
I saw a girl. She must have not been FaceTiming because I walked by her. She was like standing out front of my building, and when I walked by, she was crying on FaceTime or on video chat.
Oh, no.
And, well, I felt bad for her at first until I walked by, and she had her own face in the big window. What a psychopath! And I was like, wow, that was like the fastest draining of sympathy I have ever experienced in my life. I would slit your throat right now.
Absolutely.
If I had a weapon.
Narcissistic sociopath.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean,
she's like, let me make sure I'm getting this right.
I'm really glad that you haven't seen how I actually do these Skype calls. It's just me on the big screen TV looking at myself.
Right now, that's what we're doing.
It is. I am very uncomfortable with how large I am in that room.
You are. It's
bigger than life size Red, for sure.
You are at
your head
double
is
the size.
It's like double the size of my head.
I would love it if you just found out that this was Red's actual head size.
Yeah. No, bring it back. Okay.
Oh, hey. Oh, take it a show selfie. So he decides, he figures out that his way back to his former love interest, who now does not remember him and may not exist, is that he needs to die and end up back in the backstage area in the Mesa. And so he just walks up to some dude and just lets him stab him.
Yeah, I have done this so many times in video games where it's like you can't disconnect unless you get killed. And it's just like, I just want to fucking stop playing, all right? I'm just going to let this fucking guy headshot me. I don't care. I want to just stop playing this dumb game already.
And then we learned that he's been alive for 9 straight years without getting killed in Westworld, which seems borderline impossible.
Yeah. Like, pastoral lifestyle or no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And much like normal people with computers, they refuse to upgrade anything unless they're absolutely forced to.
I just said no to my phone upgrade today.
When do you upgrade your computer? Usually when the hard drive fails.
Yeah. The girl walks in and it's like, I think they must have had a British person in mind for this, because she walks in and she's like, let's see if we can't sort this. And I'm like, we don't talk like that, bitch. That's British people.
I feel like the Nolans are the quintessential, like,
Madonna.
We're supposed to think that they're all like super English, but they're actually like mostly American guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're like, that's how we talk, because we spent junior year abroad.
I don't know if I mentioned, but when I was in Cambridge reading Joyce.
By the way, James Joyce loved to talk about farts. Yo, his love letters are incredibly dirty.
That's what I was just about. Is that where you got that? His love letters are... Mm-hmm. Like, actually just fun. I don't find them, I don't feel like they work as love letters, but I'm just like, this is a goddamn ride. Like, what is he going to do? Where?
I am Googling this tonight.
Oh, yeah. You need to look that up. I assume it was, I actually imagine that it was much like in The Crown, where they have the lunch club where he's just like sharing it with all of his bros, except in reverse. Like James Joyce is sending his lady love letters, and she just goes and meets all her friends for lunch. And she's like, I got a new one. You won't believe this bullshit. And they're all just like slamming the table with wine glasses.
Wait till I tell you where he wants me to sit now.
They're like, is this Mad Libs?
So, yeah, the head of behavior at this time, who is nobody we know, updates him and says,
I assume that all of these people have to be, like, dead or fired. Uh-huh. Because yes. I feel like this is midway through the time. Like, this is the middle timeline that he's currently in. Yeah.
I mean, so as he's been alive for 9 years. So I would be shocked. I assume it's 10 to 20 years from when we are first introduced to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And for no reason that I can discern, he wakes up immediately when they exit in the middle of the quote unquote 4 hour update.
Mm-hmm.
That is like a huge plot hole, right?
I think so.
You might be saying that Westworld might be a show that tries to act like it's much more well written than it actually is.
Listen,
I wouldn't say that where they could hear it.
If
we're never going to get those executive producer credits on Westworld.
It's like I always say, if you just act confident enough, you can be dressed as a member of the Ghost Nation and go wherever you want. And everybody will be like, yeah, he belongs here.
Exactly.
That's my cousin. Well, anyway, she's like, update him and quietly put him back. I don't understand why it's such a problem.
Why does she care? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I figure that it might be like some sort of weird thing where they don't want to fuck with any like robots that are that.
It would be one thing if she was like, don't update him and put him back. Then that would be interesting, but I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, so it definitely has that feeling of there was a scene edited for time.
Mm-hmm.
This episode comes in at like exactly an hour.
Yeah. And they're like, listen, we just need another 30 minutes. And they're like, no, you can do this for the first and the last episode, you dummies, but you can't just be.
I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Jonathan.
Anyway, the engineers are like, well, it's probably fine to leave him here updating. Let's go.
Yeah. A recurring thing is that the engineers are just real dumb.
I mean, it's like they're not even fully out the door before he's like, bye.
Yeah.
I'm giving myself a tour.
If you notice, he's actually following them down the hallway when they cut to the next scene.
No, I didn't notice that.
He taps one of them on the shoulder and then ducks.
Is it because he's Native American that he can walk silently?
Yeah, he's so good at it.
There aren't even any leaves.
And also, I mean, another thing that is a huge plot hole is he automatically knows which of the, I believe, 60 floors he needs to go to immediately.
Yeah, and he's just walking through, like, taking the escalator places, and nobody seems to care that there's just this host running around.
So he does, and of course, among the dozens, if not hundreds, of bodies, he immediately finds Kohana standing there naked.
In the like, meat locker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listening to Nirvana in the meat
locker.
What
a weird background acting assignment to get, by the way.
I think about that all the time!
After that first season, you know that they were a lot more strict.
They must get more money. Like, I have a friend who does background on Orange is the New Black, and that's a lot of work. And you're in a jail uniform, which is probably one of the most comfortable things you can wear on television.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I love how they did that shot where you could, they just did that shot where they grazed by Kohana's nipple.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you got to show the nipple, huh, guys? It's still
this
HBO.
It's in your contract, Coco, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't complain.
It was definitely one of those things where, like, I was like, hey, I'm going to be in a Nolan film. It's just background acting, but it's pretty cool. I'm in a Nolan film. And then after I realized what it was, and I came back, hey, and it's 6 months later, and they're like, whatever happened with that? It was like, yeah, I didn't get the part.
Nothing.
I don't remember.
Nothing.
I wasn't there. You can't see my
or
dick.
Or what if you went to high school with one of them?
Oh,
listen,
man.
I've been trying to get my naked penis in a Christopher Nolan film for decades now. I run onto set, and they keep kicking me out every single time.
Keep trying, buddy.
I just realized that scene where they're just like sort of scanning like how many group messages there are on Facebook with former high school friends. It's like, did you see Patty's tits on Westworld?
And the group texts. Oh, the group texts.
Oh, my God. I want a documentary just about that room and all of their friends. That's all I want like. And so, of course,
this is all happening as a piano version, like a Muzak heart-shaped box is playing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which I feel like we've gotten a heart-shaped box before, haven't we? Or has it just been shown in a trailer?
I think we have, and I think it was this season.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's on the captions. They put it on the captions. I remember seeing it.
And so she's standing there empty. Her brain's been wiped. Nobody's home, which she fortunately realizes and doesn't go like, oh, even better.
nah, I don't. Yeah, you can't be weakened at Bernie's-ing your wife around town.
I mean, he hasn't shown a lot of positive instincts thus far, so I'm glad he drew a line here.
Mm-hmm.
But we do get my pain was selfish.
He's like, she can't even be scared of me. This is bullshit.
he like walks up with a knife again. He's like, remember, yeah. It's our thing. I cartoonishly threaten you with this giant knife instead of just saying, hey, let me help you.
Which anniversary is knife?
-4.
I mean, it did occur to me. I was like, man, I could cheat a rules this ladder server. How long have you been alive? 5 hours. How about you? 9 years.
Wow, he is the best Fortnite player there is.
So we're back with Ghost Nation, and she presents the other woman who has some
the lady who probably should be his love interest.
Yes,
like if we're serving realness on yeah. Westworld.
She gives him the braid from her son, which she recognizes immediately.
He gives her the braid.
Yes, and we cannot get them back, but I know how to keep them from us. And by that, I'm actually not sure what exactly he means in that moment. Because his plan seems to be stay in their loop for another 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know whether or not the maze is supposed to be like part of the Bernard / Arnold plan that I think Ford embraced. I guess we'll know in 2 more episodes.
My guess at this point is that it's, that Bernard sort of programmed it as sort of a QR code for the host, and they never removed it because they assumed nobody would be drawing that exact QR code going into the future. And then that wasn't the case because that's exactly what they did. Because this guy happened to just wander into town at that moment. So we go from there to Maeve wakes up, cut open disgustingly. I really
she's
did
like
not
been
like
flayed.
Yeah, flayed. Yeah.
It's like Ramsay Bolton is the fucking tech.
Yeah, I mean, and which is why it's bothering me that they haven't given this tech a name that they're referring to him as, because I want to yell his name a lot in anger.
Just call him dumbass.
And Dumas. And Lee Sizemore's just being the most impotent white guy.
I wish I could help.
He's fully simpering.
Yeah,
he is simpering. He is absolutely simpering in this
situation. He's just like, just in case this goes south, let me kiss her ass while she's unconscious.
I mean, I love overconfident, drunkly Sizemore. I love completely cowed, fearing for his life Sizemore. I really hate in a position of privilege but still refuses to do something Sizemore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating to watch him. It's like
he is feckless.
He is feckless.
Simpering and feckless.
Feckless.
And he's British, so I can call him whatever I want, if you know what I mean.
Akachita says, at this point, I dedicated my life to sharing the symbol. So he's spreading this QR code virus with everybody.
But when they're in with Maeve, we see that she can hear them, that she is listening to them. He's like, I don't know if you can hear me, but she's listening, and the tech is like, yeah, well, I don't know what we're going to do with her because Charlotte Hale gets to decide. So now I got to wait for Charlotte to get there.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah.
Anyway, then he's like, I'm dedicated to sharing the symbol with literally everybody.
So I do have to ask, Kitty. So one of the things that I'm becoming more and more convinced of is that Charlotte Hale is actually the Charlie.
The minute you said Charlie and Charlotte, I was like, this is the dumbest fucking thing, and it has to be what it is.
Yeah, that absolutely has to be what it is.
And I don't, because it would. I think we were presented with it at one point in season one, and we're like, no, the two black actors aren't related. Fucking calm down, dummies. but then they just keep doing things that suggest that they know who each other are, and that like links them together, and just like quick editing of some of Bernard's flashbacks where they'll put. Memories of Charlie back to back with memories of Charlotte Hale, and I'm just like, I think somehow Charlotte Hale is going to be Arnold's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
And
yeah, I think that's for sure.
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. It's,
why are we still talking
dumb.
About it?
Sorry, too dumb not to be what it is.
Everybody I talk to in real life pushes back on me and it's like, no.
What's their counter argument?
Their counter argument is that Westworld is a good show.
That is. That's what it is. They're like, no, that's too dumb. They would never do that. I mean, that's the ultimate twist, that it's a bad show. What if it turns out this is just...
I keep saying we don't know if this is a good show or not yet.
I think it... Yeah. If it had ended last season, if it hadn't gotten a season two, we would be mourning it as a great show.
I really feel like they should be doing more one season and done shows.
Yeah, I agree.
The Terror... which is a show on AMC that is basically, it is an adaptation of a novel about all of the, about the HMS Terror, the ship that tried to do the fabled passage to the Indies.
And it was called the HMS Terror?
Yeah.
Right? Why would you get on that boat?
Yes. Yeah, and it's just, they just did 10 episodes. And it's done.
So who got on that boat? Who? What were they like? Were they like?
White,
is there a roller coaster on here? Can we bungee jump from the boat?
It's all that. Yeah. It is all of that. And then they get fucked up by a fucking demon bear. It's
well,
a very
good.
Well,
you know, it's like you deserve
series.
It.
Yeah,
exactly.
But it's like we it's like we learn in that show. It's by the same shipbuilder as the SS It Sinks. Fucking Terror. By the way, I want to say I absolutely love the show. I also really love that they've sort of set up the Ghost Nation going back into season one, like clearly planning for this episode, you know, going
this
back.
Is, you know, I am like working on a pilot and this shit is so much fucking work. This is so much work. To have that in mind from season one, I'm impressed.
Absolutely. I mean, could you imagine the hubris to assume you're going to get a second episode, much less a second season?
And I hate that we have to do what we have to do with every Nolan production when this entire series ends and rewatch the entire series from the first episode.
Yeah, to find the... Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Are you guys not... I rewatch the entire series after every episode. That's how I just watch the show.
And here's the thing. He's not lying. People think that he's lying or joking. He's fucking not.
I did that the entire first season. Yeah. I absolutely did that, and it was great.
Yeah.
This is where he's like, I was coming to your house to warn you and your mom.
What was that?
You guys freaked out about nothing.
You're very scary. You need to drop the gimmick.
You freaked out when somebody showed up and you couldn't see their eyes in the top half of their face. And the rest of them was also covered in paint.
This non-Ghost Nation privilege of assuming that people not wearing dramatic black face makeup and someone else's blood printed on your face in the shape of your own hands is somehow terrifying.
Chill the fuck out, kid.
Yeah. It's just not everybody who's different from you is trying to murder you just because they're slouching by your window at a 45-degree angle
and
in a very menacing...
Again, could you wash your face? Just...
how narcissistic...
A little splash.
How narcissistic do you have to be to assume that everybody coming at you with a knife is trying to kill you? Oh, it's all about you.
Yeah, if you'd grown up with the Ghost Nation, you know that's just how you say a friendly hello to somebody. Here, have a knife. And you hand it to them blade first so they know that it's a valid knife, that it's not a fake. So I wanted to warn you, but in this world, it's easy to misunderstand intentions. That's what he says.
Yeah.
In this world.
Insane.
Not like other worlds where people would know clearly what I was doing. I could not
that's
be more
like
straightforward.
That's an outfit that you wear to a housewarming party on like our Earth, okay? So
it seems like what he does initially is just draw the maze outside.
Mm-hmm.
But then is seen in a very creepy way. But then
it's like, he's like, I left you a warning. And it's like, you left a fucking sand drawing, dude. Like, you showed up, terrified them, drew some shit in the sand, and left. And then you also told fucking William where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one where Maeve's like, she's like, Mommy, I'm scared. She's like, don't worry, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fine.
Yeah, that's...
Everybody in this episode keeps being like, it's fine.
That's
why
that's why I could never be a father. I'd just be like, nah, we're fuck kids.
I know, yeah. No,
everything's
absolutely.
Going bad.
I like don't know when life begins, but I would for sure start apologizing at 20 weeks just in case.
Daddy, I'm scared. Hold on to that feeling. It's the only thing that's real.
We see. This is why we can't adopt together. We're never going to have that podcast baby that we've always wanted.
Let's cover your ears.
Listen, once Katie's Kid Life Crisis gets big enough, we'll have the eventual spinoff where Ivan and I give parenting advice without having any children.
We should have to raise a child together as a podcast.
That should, it should be like a Tamagotchi.
That should be the.
I went through so many Tamagotchis.
I'm not saying it's the best for the children, but could you imagine how much better the podcast universe would be if that were the basic requirements to getting a podcast? Once you and your co-host
are able
to
raise a child, yeah,
have raised a child together, then we'll allow you broadcasting rights over the internet.
Oh, there's so many podcast teams who just stay together for the kid.
The sports podcasting would be dead.
Well, anyway, Maeve ends up dead in the center of whatever the shit he drew. So thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for your intentions. Come back soon.
And then, so we flash forward. He talks about our numbers grew. Everyone was waking up. And then he comes upon a horrifying, very Ramsay Bolton-esque scene of their terrifying lights that they have, where he basically did freeze all motor functions, which a bunch of people were trying to attack a bear, and was trying to investigate, like, what the deal was with this maze carved into all of their skulls.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, this was a misbegotten symbol. But
yeah, so I assume that this is part of Ford's, you know, slow embrace of Arnold's idea that, you know, humans fucking suck and robots are cool.
But he also discusses that it was an accident. Like, this was a symbol that was supposed to have gone away a long time ago, and you've been propagating it. So it wasn't part of his ultimate design.
Mm-hmm.
What we learn is that he's very comfortable with scalping hosts.
Yeah, I didn't know how this was offensive to Native Americans or bears more.
I'm going to go with Native Americans.
Yeah,
by an order of magnitude.
I mean, you listen, say
you don't want to get the bear lobby mad at you.
You know what? I'm willing to meet with them and see what they have to say.
But I live a block away from the famous leather bar, the Eagle, and I heard everyone gasp at that scene because of the indignities done to bears during Pride Week.
He's like, analysis, where did you find this symbol? And he says, when the Deathbringer killed the creator.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, why share it? He's like, oh, well, my drive is to maintain the honor of my tribe. Stereotyping. But I have a new drive to spread the truth.
Yeah, so it's a mimetic symbol that is programmed to propagate itself.
To, I guess.
Yeah.
But like,
it's a QR code virus. I feel like I already came up with the perfect
virus.
Well, yeah, that's
literally what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like click on this link and get my cool app that'll send you.
I know it's using it.
Your host may already be infected.
Uh oh. Oh no!
This is why you can never surf a host onto Pornhub.
and so then Ford seemingly calls an audible and was just like, well, when the Deathbringer returns for me, you will know to lead your people into a new world. And I have no idea what that means.
I guess it's you do what Arnold has programmed you to do because of this mimetic symbol virus. Yeah. I assume he's embracing Arnold's philosophy of humans suck, robots number one.
Why does he know he's going to die, though? Right.
I think that this is at the point where he is basically, you know, coming up with the plan to upload himself into the Matrix.
Yeah,
by the way, we have to stop calling it the Matrix.
But it's the Matrix.
It's the Matrix. That's the problem.
I mean, I guess they're not, until we figure out if they are actually powering the servers that that they're being backed up on.
It's all the jizz that they scoop out of the host.
Oh, no.
They've just been throwing it into a furnace.
This just got so lowbrow. Wow.
You really haven't heard a lot of these podcasts.
No, I have not been caught up.
That was a hard left, though. You didn't hear the turkey baster running joke?
So, when the Deathbringer returns, you will know, lead your people to a new world. Very messed up looking scene.
He's like, you're a flower growing in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Let me offer some light. And then he's like, you'll know. Anyway.
So, I mean, just judging by how that conversation goes, it would be shocking if he hadn't already made the plan to have Dolores kill him and put that and had the plan to put that in motion. And then we cut forward to when Dolores kills Ford and a bunch of the investors.
And we go right by her grave.
Mm-hmm. We go right by her grave. Yeah. Which is shown in the first season. It's there a lot of the times. One of the cool, there's a bunch of weird stuff on the website that explains how Westworld works. if you dig into it. And one of the things is they bury the person, and that sends them back to the backstage area so they can get repaired. Like, the graves actually drop them.
Fucking know that.
Drop them into a chute that, like, rolls them off. Oh, my God. So they're great.
How have they not put that in the actual show? Why are they this for the ancillary?
They have an informational pamphlet that shows, like, the body dropping in and then, like, the lever going down and then the body sliding out that is hilarious, and I would love to see that enacted.
That's amazing.
How did they get down there, Lee and the others, when they went? Didn't they go down a chute?
They went down a chute, mm-hmm. but it was, like, implanted in some weird thing that raised out of the ground or something. Like,
Okay.
It was a little more explicit. It wasn't as fun. I would have loved if they just, like, dug.
That would have been tight.
Right? If they just, like, dug into a grave.
Yeah. You'd totally be like, where the fuck are they going with this, man?
And then out of nowhere, Grace, who I still can't get a like, beat on. I have no idea what she's really doing in this park. Rolls into the Ghost Nation camp. So the Man in Black's daughter, William's daughter. And basically says, hey, I've come for him. Also,
P.S., she speaks Lakota.
She speaks Lakota, which is very suspicious.
She's the one who actually read all the ancillary materials. She was like, yeah, I love logs.
Yeah. Well, that does explain. When I was on the website, it says two people are logged in. Now I know who the other one was.
Oh, and I love when she's like, no, my way will hurt more. No, I think Akechita's way was going to hurt more.
It was going to hurt a lot.
I think that he was,
I would at least be like, let's team up. I'm not like, yeah, exactly. Come with me. He just fucking escaped from you last week.
Yeah, let's do both.
Because you were
both.
Feeling sentimental. Like,
and she was like, no, I'm going to make him attend a one-year-old's birthday party. And he was like, ah!
Oh, no!
Oh, I don't want to be part of that. Take it.
So we have Akechita speaking to Maeve's daughter, I couldn't keep you safe. And then we get the sort of culmination of episode 8, not the season, because it's episode 8, not the end of the season. where Hale walks in, we get the mesh network talk. Hale learns how Maeve can get admin access over some of the other bots who aren't, who don't have agency at this point, which just seems to be based on how much we like that host, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It was a named, and if it's a named NPC, she has like an 80% harder, it has 80% resist mind control.
Yeah. Maeve's daughter is 100% not aware of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So she's telling the Ghost Nation to guard Maeve's daughter. We will guard your daughter as our own. If you stay alive, find us or die well. Which is, I feel like, just leave it with find us. Leave or die well unsaid. That's something that's sort of somebody's own decision. You don't assign that to somebody else.
Which, by the way, those are really the only two binary options for anything, really.
Right.
Hey, stay alive or don't.
Die well.
Yeah.
Die well is nice, though, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Don't die.
I hope
embarrassingly.
I do.
And I
hope you do too.
And it turns out the twist was that Maeve and Akechita were texting during this whole thing, which is rude.
That is what happened.
That's basically,
we didn't confiscate their cell phones. The assembly.
They've been playing Fortnite the entire class.
Why won't Maeve look at us? Why is she looking down? I can't figure it out.
Fucking Minecraft. Maeve, eyes up here.
No mesh network at the table.
So yeah, this was a wonderful conclusion to season 2 of Westworld.
This was the entire time I was watching this is a
what a cliffhanger,
field.
Right?
This is, I can't believe Evan Rachel Wood isn't in the last episode. I'm such a rube.
Yeah, there are two more episodes for anybody else listening who is afraid to look up how many episodes there are.
We did figure it out when there were scenes immediately that were like next time on Westworld.
Exactly.
Like, oh, okay.
Exactly. Ooh, I was like, wow, they're really ending this on a very vague note.
How was your overall appreciation of this episode compared to the rest of Westworld?
I enjoyed it, but I'm kind of like over the new character introduction episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with info dumps. I want some more action.
Like, it's not like we were at a loss for characters. There are a lot of characters on the show.
And plus, so this is a lot of like repeated, like, I feel like every character's motivation is either like, oh no, kids, or my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, he literally has both, oh no, a kid and my wife. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody else's kid. He has co-opted somebody else's motivational child.
I was very happy that we got the explanation for who the Ghost Nation is and what is their place in this world, because I'd been spinning a lot of ideas about who they were and what they were doing, and I was very off base. So
I hadn't really done that. I was totally like, oh, a rough sketch of some hostile natives, of course.
Oh, you're not posting on alt.bin.westworld?
It would never be .bin. Alt.bin.westworld. If I was posting on there, that'd be me uploading the episode. That's what that means. There's not gonna be a talk about episodes.
Technical error.
I mean, I upload this podcast to alt.bin.westworld, but aside from that.
You fucking idiot. I'm going to break all those fingers so fast, just you watch.
All right, so that has been season mm-hmm. 2, episode 8, Kiksuya, a term which I don't think we ever figured
out. Why the fuck was it called that?
I don't know.
That's a Japanese word, isn't it?
I don't know.
Is there a non-zero chance that I copied and pasted the wrong episode main? Sure.
No, certainly. That's what it is. I saw it on there too.
Okay.
That's definitely what it is. Yeah. I just don't get it.
Yeah. And the episode description for this episode was, a heart is taken following a departure.
Huh.
I don't know.
I think on Ivan's it said, take my heart when you leave.
Yeah.
It had the like phonetic Lakota and then take my heart when you leave.
That's why mm-hmm. you had the good take my heart before you go. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I'm excited to get two more episodes and then get season 3 in the next 5 to 10 years.
Jesus Christ, it's going to be so long.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be Game of Thrones in between at least.
Yeah.
And hopefully we don't all die.
Yeah, right. Oh, man, if we don't make it to the end of fucking Game of Thrones, I will haunt that motherfucker.
Uh-huh.
It is such a bizarre thing that the first season of Game of Thrones came out before Trump was elected president. Like, those episodes came out in the Obama era, which
it's crazy.
I don't think I was alive
then.
Yeah,
when it was so crazy and unimaginable that anything remotely like that would ever be permitted to go on.
Yo, you remember that Obama used to be president?
No.
It's crazy now.
All right.
Everything's all right. Crazy now.
All right. Thank you, Katie and Buzz, for being on our podcast.
Thank you guys.
So much, buddy.
Thanks, Buzzy. Thank you.
Okay. Where can people find you online?
I'm Katie Compa on everything. KatieCompa.com. KATIECOM as in Mary, P as in Paul, A. My dad likes to use cook when we eat out because Compa is too difficult to spell for receptionists.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
wow. And I won't live that life. So I'm like,
no shame.
M like Mary, P like Paul, A. Write it down. Remember it.
So you can follow Katie Compa everywhere at Katie Compa. You can follow the dog who was also on this podcast at Buzz_Baker on Instagram. You can find
an amazing dog.
He is.
On Twitter at @BoysScoreSwords. You can find Ivan on Twitter at @Ivan_Hernandez.
And you can find Red on Twitter at @Red_Scott.
Bye.
Bye.
There are no balls in Westworld. There are no swords in Westworld. But there's certainly a lot.